Open our Bibles to the book of Psalms chapter 65. Boy, it's good to have you back with us. Weather has knocked a little bit of our attendance down the past week or past couple weeks, but we're thankful for those of you who've been able to come and things. Psalms chapter 65. Now, we're going to title this psalm. I was going to write these things down and didn't do it. We're going to title this psalm, Why Praise Waits for God. Why Praise Waits for God. Now, if you look at verse 1, it's where I got the title from. It says, Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And so that's why I picked that particular title. Why Praise Waits for God. Why does it say praise waits for Him? Well, the psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. And what it does is it focuses on some of the great graces and works that God does and has done. And a lot of the preachers that I listen to that preached from this psalm, they did it at Thanksgiving time. And a lot of people suggest that perhaps they would sing this particular psalm during days of their harvest, because in the latter part, verses 9 through 13, it talks about how God waters the earth and causes the corn to grow. And so it's a thanksgiving psalm is what it is. Well, let me give you the outline. Why praise waits for God? Number one, because of God's grace. Verses 1 through 4. Isn't God's grace a reason to praise Him? Verses 1 through 4, because of God's grace. And in verses 5 through 8, why does praise wait for God? Because of God's power. Verses 5 through 8, because of God's power. And then the third reason praise waits for God is verses 9 through 13, because of God's provisions. I'll give those to you again. Verses 1 through 4, because of God's grace, because of God's power. Verses 5 through 8, then verses 9 through 13, because of God's provisions. Now, it's my, I guess you could say, hope and prayer that as you look at these different things from this text tonight, that you'd be moved to praise Him. I think probably if there's ever an area in all of our lives that we are sometimes lacking in, and that is the area of praise. That book of Hebrews says His praise should continually be on our lips, and many times it's not. And the reason why it's not is we just fail to focus on all the many different things, reasons that we have to praise Him. So that's what this psalm does, and hopefully by the end of this service, that's what this psalm will do for you. Okay? Verses 1 through 4, because of God's grace, it says, Praise waits for thee, O God in Zion. Of course, in Zion was where the tabernacle was located at. Sometimes Zion was referring to Mount Moriah, the hill where the temple would later be put. Or also it refers to it, to Jerusalem itself. You know, we sing the song, We're Marching to Zion. It's talking about New Jerusalem. Sometimes it referred to the whole town. Of course, it was recalled the city of God. This particular city was. And praise waited for Him there. And it goes on to say, And unto thee shall the vow be performed. You know what a vow basically is? It's a promise. And he says that I'm waiting to praise you. We're waiting to praise you here. We're waiting to perform our vow. Now, sometimes when we'll pray to God and we'll request things of the Lord, have you ever noticed what some people do? They'll make it, and there's nothing wrong with this, but they'll make a request of God. And once they're done requesting and making supplication to the Lord, and they'll say, and Lord, we'll be careful. You ever heard anybody do this? We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. Ever hear everybody pray that way? And that's a good way to pray. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, that's the vow, I believe, he's talking about being paid in this particular point. They had prayed to the Lord for something or many things, and the Lord had granted their request, and now they're down there to pay up and give Him the proper praise and glory that is deserving of His precious name. Okay? We have to be careful that we don't make requests of the Lord and fail to go back and give Him praise for those requests. You'd be surprised how many times that gets done. You're praying and you're requesting and you're making requests of the Lord for certain things, And many times the Lord answers those requests, and quite honestly, we fail to go back and give Him the proper praise for those things. So He's done a lot of things for us. That's why it's important, I believe, to... We have a prayer list here at the church, and I believe there's some in the back, are they not? And it's good to keep one of those with you and put your own notes on there and pray over the requests that people have here. We have a group that specifically does that every Sunday evening. They break it down. And aren't you glad you got a group that does that? Amen. They mention every request, and Brother Clarence keeps track of all of that, how the Lord answers and what the Lord does. I believe that's important. But you can do that yourself at home. And you can take, you don't have to pray over the whole thing at one time. Break it down into pieces. That's what we do. And pray over those things. And keep track of what the Lord does. What ends up happening sometimes when we pray, Lord, watch over me today and bless everybody in the world and all the sick and amen. And go off to, I hate to say it like that, but a lot of times that's nothing. Just a general thing to make you feel better and say you pray, but you really didn't pray for nothing. God wants you to pray specifically. Pray specifically for people that has needs and people that are hurting. Mention them by name. Pray for sinners, mentioning them by name, that the Lord was. You know why you pray specifically? You know when the Lord answers. That's how you know when the Lord answers. I mean, you specifically make a request and you see it come to pass. You went, ha, the hand of God did that. That's why you pray that way. Well, I've been praying for Chris Starcher for some time. He would come for baptism. And that tickled me to death. It was amazing how the Lord worked that out. And he had been praying about baptism and things. And I'll just share this with you as I go on. But I'm just giving the Lord the praise for what he's done. And Chris... I decided, I thought, well, maybe I ought to mention it to him, maybe about baptism. We had talked about it in the past. He could be waiting on me to say something, because I normally don't ever. And I said, Chris, have you been thinking about baptism? And then he said, well, yeah, I've been thinking about it. And that's all he said to come to the next service. I believe it was last Wednesday night. He said, you know, I've been praying to the Lord about that. Then you asked me that, and I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. Hey. See, that was a specific request. His was a specific request. And we believe that was from God. See? So, you keep track and then you give Him the praise for all those things. And, oh, my, it's a wonderful thing to pray. Clarence Chamblin and those prayer warriors, it's just a tremendous thing the way they keep track and the things that they pray for. So, he's paying his vow and it says he's waiting. They're waiting there to give Him praise. You know, when you're waiting on something, you have to be ready, don't you? I mean, the idea, and you'll look in the middle, it says, talking about a silent waiting. It's like all the preparations have done been made, and now they're just waiting for the praise to begin. They've made all the praise. Kind of like we do when we have a communion service. We come up here and beforehand, and we get everything all straightened out, getting all the bottles poured and get all the bread broke and get it all separated out. And then we will take about 5 minutes beforehand and Bertha will play, and then we grow silent. And then we think about what we're getting ready to do. You see, praise is waiting for the Lord. We're preparing our hearts and our minds to praise Him by taking the communion. You know, really every service we have, Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday morning and Sunday night, it should be able to be said here at Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, hey, Master, the praise is just waiting on you here. Just waiting to be offered. To offer praise and worship to God, you have to be ready to do that. You have to be ready to do that. And I guess as a pastor, that's one of the things that I'm most concerned about. And one of the things that I try to see that gets done as best we can. But to offer praise, you have to be ready to do it. And to be ready to do it, you have to be prepared to do it before you ever get here. You hear what I just said? You have to be prepared to do it before you ever get there. There has to be some preparation made. I used the illustration years ago. I used it again back 5 million years ago when I played football. Coach Jennings never would let us talk on a going to a football game. That was awful. If you had an hour drive and all them old windy teenage boys on that bus, and Bunny, if you would talk, he'd throw you off of it or wouldn't let you start. He was mean. And he'd get on that bus, he said, "Boys, keep your mouth shut," real nice and gentle, "and think about what you're going to be doing." He figured that was pretty important. Well, I don't know anything this side of glory that's any more important than worshiping our God. And some thought needs to go into that before you ever get here. Lord, let me illustrate what I'm talking about. At 7:31, Lord, I'm going to be singing to you. I mean, why do we sing, Jimmy? Are we singing to the Lord, or are we just singing to take up 10 minutes, 15 minutes? Lord, I'm going to be singing to you here in about a minute or two. And Lord, I want to mean what I'm singing. And Lord, I want you to help me to sing to you. I want you to help me to sing. There has to be preparation made. That requires a little quiet time with the Lord before you ever get here, thinking about what you're getting ready to do. And then when you come in ready to, the praise is waiting on Him. See, you're ready to go. You're ready to offer it up because your mind is ready. Then you watch the words of the songs and you sing them to Jesus Christ. And and you know what the Heavenly Father does when you do that? He'll go, "Boy, that's a sweet thing." And if we don't do it in that way, I just assume not do it. There ain't no reason to do it. So that's a that's what all of us have to do. I have to get myself ready, and that's why I get to where I look up and don't look at people. I look up so I can sing and not think about what people are doing. See, I'm not like you. See, you see the back of heads, I see the front. I see the front, and if people can distract me, people can really much distract me because I'm like, "Well, I don't do that no more. I look up. I'm singing to the Lord. Singing to the Lord." So they were waiting. They were waiting to pay their vow. They were ready to do it. They were ready to offer praise. And oh, may it always be said, oh, God, praise is waiting for you down there in Bancroft. Every service. Every service. And I mean to tell you, spend some time getting ready before you come. And you'll enjoy it if you do that. Lord will bless you. That's what it's all about. All right, now let's look at the grace number one. There's three graces here that I want to give to you here in verses 1 through 4. Notice what the first one's in verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer. notice the title name he uses for the Lord. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Aren't you glad He's a God that hears? He's a God that hears prayer. Now, that stands in contrast to all the false idols out there that can't hear anything. The book of Isaiah says they serve these idols and they got eyes, but they can't see, and ears, but they can't hear. But He is the God that hears prayer. Sometimes when we pray, we just have to remind ourselves that the Lord's listening. Does that make any sense at all? Sometimes we're just saying words, you know, but you got to remind yourself that He is a God that hears your prayer. He hears you pray. And that's a reason to pray, because He hears you. And that's a reason to pray, because whenever we pray, He hears His people. You may be in your room and quiet, no one else around, which is, for me, the best time for me to pray. That and driving. I don't know why I can pray so good when I'm driving. I guess because I'm concentrating straight ahead, but I can pray so well that way. But He hears you. He's listening, and He wants you to come. And I want to ask you again, I like to take the opportunity to do this on occasions, really. What are you asking God to do? What are you asking God to do? What are you asking God to do at Elizabeth Baptist Church? What are you asking Him to do? Who are you asking God to save? Who are you asking God to bring back? See, you need to ask yourself those things, because I've done it myself before. I got to looking and you really ain't asking God for anything. You know, the book of James says that we have not because we ask not. And many times when you get to examining your prayer life, you're not asking for anything. That's why many times you don't see things done. You want to see people saved? I believe you pray for it. If you really want to see people saved, you pray for it. You want to see people added, you pray for it. See? So, He's a God that hears those prayers, and that's one of the graces. That's one of the graces here that's mentioned. And this is why praise waits for Him, because He's a God that hears prayer. Hears us when we pray. Number two, verse 3, iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. The second grace, you see, is that not only is He a God that hears prayer, but He's a God that purges our sin. Is that a reason that praise should be waiting on God every service? I mean, we could praise Him for these things all the time. Not only is He a God that hears our prayer, but He's also a God that purged our sin. The idea of the word purged in this text is He atoned for our sin. Paid our sin debt. You know, if it hadn't been for Him purging us from our sin, we could have died in our sin. And if we had died in our sin, we would have paid for that forever. Oh my, what praise and honor we should give Him. Praise waits on thee because He's purged us. But here, I believe the idea of it is, as He's preparing to pray, His iniquities came to man. It's our transgressions, they come to mind. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever come to, let me ask you, have you ever come to a church service and you're sitting there and you're getting ready to sing and you're thinking and all of a sudden, boom, sin comes into your mind. Failures on your part comes to your mind. Has that ever happened to you here at the church? They come right straight to your mind. You think, oh my, I'm worthless. I ain't no good for anything. And then it starts distracting. You don't feel like you can sing and pray and worship and all those things happen. I think that's what He's talking about in verse 3. Well, He's a God that purges those sins. And when things come to mind like that, especially when you're worshiping, turn to Psalms chapter 32. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Psalms chapter 32 and verse 5. Verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. That's what you do. You confess it. The Bible says that He's faithful and just always to forgive His children for their transgressions. Now, folks, He saved us. The day that He saved us, He gave us a complete washing from our sin. He paid that penalty that we owed in full. And the book of Romans 4 says that He doesn't even impute sin to us no more. Every bit of that, as far as God's law is concerned, our penalty has been paid in full. That's why there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He paid it in full. That's why you have rest. You can never have rest and peace as a Christian, unless you know all your sins is paid for. Now, when that happens, this silly thing, the other side fell loose. When that happens, when sin, though your sins is paid for, yet now that you are a Christian, you are also God's what? You're God's child. And since you live in a body of flesh, you know what that means? You still sin. You still sin. And what you need to do is you need what we like to term, you need parental forgiveness. He's your heavenly Father. And you know, when you sin against God, that affects your fellowship with Him and the closeness of that relationship. And when you confess your sins, it's just kind of like your child coming to you whenever they sinned against you. And they say, Dad, I'm sorry for what I did. And you know, their fellowship gets restored back. That's why you need to confess your sin after that you're saved. And I think that's what David's referring. He purges our sin. He forgives us our sin. So when you come to worship, the Lord will bring things to mind. You need to confess those things. Folks, sin will affect your worship. You ever heard me tell you when you come to worship, you need to come clean? Well, I don't mean, I want you to come clean physically, but I'd rather you come clean spiritually. Come clean spiritually. Confess your sin, get that out of the way, come in and worship the Lord. Okay? So He'll forgive you your sin. And that's the second grace. Not only why does praise wait for Him? Because He hears our prayer, number one, and because He purges our sin, number two. Now we come to the third grace. And the third grace is because of His election. Because of God's election. That's what it says in verse 4. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest. Oh, folks, what's the word blessed mean? Happy. Is that a reason to praise the Lord? Oh, folks, where would you be if it wasn't for the sovereign grace of Almighty God in your life? Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians 4, who made you to differ from another? Who made you to differ from another? God did. God did. God chose you. And I want to show you that in the Scriptures. Turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you look these verses up. These are intended to be a blessing to you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I'm just going to blow through it and fast as I can and then move on. Praise waits for God because God, He's a God that hears our prayers. He's a God that purges our sin. And He's a God that chose us. That's reason enough to praise Him every Wednesday, Sunday morning, and Sunday night and Wednesday night, is it not? The book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, watch what it says. Verse 13. It says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Now, who's He giving thanks to? He's giving thanks to God for you. Beloved of the Lord, because, now watch what it says, because God hath from the beginning, what did God do from the beginning there? God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification or the setting apart of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. He chose you to salvation. He chose you to salvation. That's what the Scripture says, and that's the reason why you're saved. It's not because you're brighter than everybody else. It's all because of God, and that's one of the reasons why it says, blessed is the man that you choose. A reason to praise Him. Let's look on over while you're there at the book of Ephesians 1. We'll just stop off on our way back and just spend our time looking at the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, then we'll quote the rest of them. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Well, let's read 3. You can't read 3 without 4 without 3. Blessed, Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be God. They're praising the Lord. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, He has. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, what are those spiritual blessings? Well, He goes on in the rest of the chapter and tells you what those spiritual blessings are. According as He, who's the He? God. Now, what did God do there? God hath chosen us. In Him, that's the same thing, 2 Thessalonians 2, He has chosen us in Him. When did He do that? Before the foundation of the world. That's before He ever said, let there be light. And there was light. That's before He ever said, let the dry land appear. He chose you. And He knew you by name. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Those are two texts that says He chose you. And you know what another name of God's people is? God's people is called disciples. God's people is called Christians. But you know another name for God's people? Saints. God's people is called the elect. You know what the word elect means? Look it up. I counted 15 times it's used in the New Testament. Word elect simply means chosen. The Bible says that there will come a day in Matthew 24 that He'll send forth His angels and they'll gather together His elect. Four corners of the earth and from one end of heaven to the other. Okay? Blessed is the man whom He hath chosen. And folks, that choice of the Lord is based on His sovereign grace. That's what it's based on. It's not based on anything in you. If we got what we deserve, the earth would open up and we would slide right into hell. It's based on His sovereign grace. That's what it's based on. And He's holy and just in whatever that He does. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7 while we're on the subject. God deserves glory for election. That's why it's mentioned in the text. Can I ask you a question before I read this text? Did God choose the nation Israel? Well, sure He did. We all realize that. Even people who reject the doctrine realize that. We'll use that. Call them God's chosen people. Listen what the Lord says about Israel here in this text. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Notice verse 6. Listen now. Listen, look what it says. Why was Israel what they were? For thou art a holy, verse 6, Deuteronomy 7, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee. Listen to what it says. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Why is that? It's His sovereign choice. He made the nation. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than other people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. Because He'd keep the oath which He has sworn to your fathers. Same thing is true to you. Old Samuel went to the people one day in the book of 1 Kings 8 after they chose a king, and he said, "Hey, it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. And the reason why you're sitting there born again with an eternity waiting on you in the Father's house is because it pleased the Lord to make you His people." And He deserves praise for that. You don't deserve no praise for that. Because if it wasn't for this, you'd still be in your sin. Oh, God's people said. All right. Praise waits for you, Lord. Because you hear our prayers, because you've purged our sin, and because you've chosen us. Those are three good... See, that's why we titled that God's Grace. Turn back to Psalms now. I'm going to pick the pace up, the meat of it's in verses 1 through 4. I'll get done with the psalm. Psalms chapter 65. Blessed is the man whom you've chosen and calls to approach unto thee. Calls to do what? What's it mean to approach unto the Lord? That's worship. That's worship, folks. Hey, I come here and like to make you a... I didn't come here to show up. I come to make an approach to my God at His house. There's a difference. Some people just show up for church. And the best thing about the service is it's over around 8:30 or it's over around 12 o'clock. That's not worship. That's not making an approach. He's chosen you, and now you can, now, and you've trusted the Messiah, now you can come and you can make an approach to God. You can make an approach to Him through the blood. Abel made an approach to the Lord in the book of Genesis chapter 4. You know, one of the characteristics of the people of God, now that you've got been born again, I want to make an approach to my Lord every day. I want to be with Him. I want to spend time with Him. Make an approach. That's what a church service is you're coming to make an approach to worship the Lord. And you know, that seems to me like the way this psalm looks at that is that's a pretty high privilege. That's a pretty high honor that the Lord places upon you. He's chosen you, and now you can make an approach to Him in worship. And He can listen to your singing. And when your singing comes from your heart, you know what He does? Oh, man, He loves it. He loves your worship. He deserves your worship, but He loves your worship when you mean it. You can make an approach to Him. And it says in that He may... Another reason why this man is blessed that he chose, not only does he get to make an approach to the Lord, but it also says that he's going to dwell in His courts. He's going to dwell where? He's going to dwell in your courts. You know, King David looked forward to that. You know what King David said in Psalms 23? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, that ain't the temple in Jerusalem. That's the house of the Lord. That's heaven. Man is blessed that he is chosen because he has an approach to the Lord, but he's going to dwell in his courts and he's going to be satisfied with the goodness of his house. All of our loved ones that's passed to be with Christ, they're satisfied with the goodness of his house. Well, that's the first reason why praise waits for the Lord, because of his grace. He hears prayer, he purges sin, and he's chosen you. Now the next reason to praise God is given to us in verses 5 through 8. Because of God's power. Because of God's power. Notice what it says. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. Now the idea of terrible things is not that God does anything bad. It's just when God brings judgment on the enemies of his people, it's a terrible thing. I mean, it's a thing that brings terror upon them. Oh, let me use an illustration. I think what this verse is referring to is they're looking now at God's mighty acts, his power, the mighty things that he's done. And one of the mighty things that he does is he, when he hears the prayers of his people, and there is a group of people that are mistreating his people, sometimes God brings terrible judgment upon them for that. Well, there was a fellow down in Egypt by the name of Pharaoh that was abusing the people of God in the book of Exodus. God did terrible things in the land of Egypt. He did terrible judgments that were righteous. You see how it's worded? Terrible things that are righteous. They deserved it for the way that they treated God's people. You can read what he did to the Assyrian king by the name of Sennacherib. He did terrible things there too. So they're praising him here in verse 5 because of his power, because of the mighty acts that he's done with regard to them. His mighty acts. Notice what else it says. Verse 6, which by his strength set fast the mountains, being girded with power. Who set the mountains? God did. Now you know I'm a mountain lover. I absolutely love mountains. And Linda, you love mountains too. You're just like me. Or I'm just like you, one. Absolutely love mountains. I think it's I like to be on top of them. I like to look at them down into the valleys. I like to do that. But I don't mind being at the bottom of anywhere you put me. I love to look at a mountain. You know why that is? Because I see God's glory in that. God set the mountains. That's what it says. God set them. He's the one that put them into positions where they're in. He's the one that placed them where they're at. And they declare his glory. So not only does praise wait for the Lord because of the way he judges the enemies of the people, but you get to view him as the creator here, as we've been preaching on Sundays. He's the one that set the mountains. Y'all believe that? Or you believe he just popped there? Or did he start at sea level and blow up there, you know, over years? No, he set the mountains. Established the mountains, it says. Let's read on. Verse 7 says that he stilleth the noise of the seas and the noise of their waves. Another text that says that in Psalms 107 talks about how he stills the storms. Who does that? Who stills the waves and the storms in this text? God does. You know, whenever Jesus stood upon the end of the boat and he calmed the storms on the Sea of Galilee, remember what the disciples said? What manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey his voice? Well, if they knew Psalm 65, they'd know exactly who he was. It was God. Yeah, he steals he can steal a raging sea. And you know something else? He can still the raging worry in your heart too. He can do that too. Have you ever had him do it? He can calm your mind too. Give you rest and peace. He can do that. Sometimes your man, because of different things that goes on in your life, it's like the raging waves of the sea. Have you ever experienced that? Well, he can speak peace to that. You take it to him and you trust him with it. Yeah. Well, not only can he do that, not only does he still the noise of the seas and the noise of the waves, but he also does that to the tumult of the people, or to the raging of the people, or to the storms of the people. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 17, I think it is. Boy, I hope I wrote down the right verse. Isaiah chapter 17. Yeah. He can calm the people too, the multitude of people. He can chill them out too. Listen to what this says. He's talking about nation in Isaiah 17 and the verse 12. It says, "Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of the nations, and make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters." He's talking about nations, and they're all shook up like the sea. Verse 13, "The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall do what?" God will calm them down. God will rebuke them. Here, all of these nations is spewing off and carrying on. And it says God can rebuke them. "And they shall flee far off and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind." Not only can God calm the seas, but he can also bring calm to nations that are raging like the sea. Well, you know what I thought about when I read that text? Well, we as God's people need to pray that the Lord would bring, would still the noise of the tumult that's going on in Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan. He can calm that down. No man can. You know, you listen to all this different stuff and all these different things. Man, God's people need to pray. The Lord will calm that. He can call it. Man, would y'all describe that as a raging sea? He can calm that. That's what that's talking about. He can bring that to a calm. He can. Do y'all believe it? He can. Can I ask you, are you praying for it? Are you praying for it? Are you asking, boy, I tell you what, if you had a child over there, you'd be praying for it. Pray like you got a child over there. Lord, calm that. And don't forget Afghanistan either. Remember those people that are over there. Lord, speak a calm to that. Bring them home. Oh, shame on us for not praying. We just got so self-satisfied. You know, everything's fine over here. It's not over there. Pray for our people. Pray that God would speak peace to that. So we'll start that tonight. Pray for them. We've got a lot of people over there. All right. Let's read on. "They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens." The Lord has a lot of tokens. You know, that's a lot of signs. Storms, earthquakes, all those type of things. There are a lot of tokens that the Lord puts forth of his power. As men look at that, they're afraid, are they not? You see, verses 5 through 8 are focusing on God's power. Praise waits upon him because of his power. Because of his grace in verses 1 through 4, and then because of his power in verses 5 through 8. Reasons to praise him. Man, he stills the storms. He set the mountains. He brings judgment on the enemies of God's people. See? Oh, finally, in verses 9 through 13, the third reason praise waits for the Lord is because of God's provisions. You know the reason why you come, I pray you come in and you had plenty to eat this evening. We don't have anybody starving, do we? Have you ever considered what a miracle that is? We're not starving. You know what? We're not even worried about starving. We don't even have to do like Israel did and look at, we don't have to gather our manna daily. I would have hated that. Wouldn't you? I can't say I'd like that, Jimmy. I wouldn't have. I'd like to have a 500 rail car train carrying it, so I'd know it'd be there for about 10 years. They had to go every day, Coy, and gather just enough for that day and trust the Lord that it would be there again tomorrow. They had to do it for 40 years. Wouldn't you love to have done that? No, not one of us would have. We have plenty. God has blessed us with an abundance. And that's one of the things that gets overlooked. Man, you look at the old... You look at the different nations and you can see starving children all over the world, can't you? This kills my soul to see the little fellers. And little bellies all swelled out where they don't have nothing to eat. And mothers watching them and can't do a thing in the world about it. We don't worry about such things as that. It's because of our God. Because of our God. And that's what it says, verse 9. Because of His provisions. Verse 9, Thou visitest the earth and You watered it. Who does that? The Lord waters the earth. You know, brother, if the Lord quit watering the earth, we'd starve to death. All you'd have to do is dry up a rain. You dry up a rain for about 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you wouldn't have to worry about it. This earth is dependent upon God watering it. And He waters it every day. And the Bible says He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He waters it. Well, He visits the earth and He waters it. The other Psalms, I think it's 104, says He waters the earth from His chambers. Every time not only did I praise the Lord at mountains, I praise the Lord every time I see a rainstorm. I thank You, Lord. Thank You for watering our earth. Here's a lot of reasons to praise Him if you look. Okay, He waters the earth. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. Now, that's not talking about the river in Revelation 22. He's referring to the water that's in the clouds as the river of God, the rain. He waters it with the river of God. He's the one that sends the rain. Boy, isn't that lucky that the earth evolved up and the rain falls? And you look at everything, you see how the Lord waters it and how where He set it at, and all these, oh, it just shouts God, doesn't it? Shouts the designer. He waters it. It goes on to say, Thou preparest them corn when Thou hast so provided it. Thou waterest the ridges abundantly that settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers, and Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with Thy goodness, and Thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered over with corn, and they shout for joy, and they also sing. God's the one that makes all the provisions. You know, behind a field is a farmer. And behind a farmer is the sun and the rain. You know, behind the farmer, the field, the farmer, the sun and the rain is our God. And He's the provider for His people. And He's the one that's provided so for us. One verse, and we'll close with this one verse. Psalms 27, 29, 30, and 31. Oh, He maketh the storm a calm. Psalms 27, 29. We'll close with this. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. Now listen to this. Verse 31. Mark that. It's mentioned several times in this text. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Praise waits for the Lord in Zion. Praise waits for the Lord in Bancroft. Because of His grace, because of His power, and because of His provisions. And He deserves that. And you know who gives that in this world? It's not the sinner that gives that. It's not the prayer. The Bible says the prayer of the unrighteous is an abomination to Him. The only people that can praise Him on this earth is His people. The ones that He has chosen. Let's all stand. All right. I